Oh my God, are you going to scare me?
Hey, man. No, I'm going to give you some real answers.
All right, here, let me start the recording. So if you're going to have answers this early, there
you go. Good morning.
Good morning. All right, James, we start in how many minutes? In about 6 minutes. And, you know, so how scared I got to be? You going to scare me? Am I scared?
Well, we're going to talk about the currency of fear, you bet.
Yeah, they're manufacturing it. They're turning on the fear printing press. That's for damn Skippy. Okay.
So what do we got, an hour, half an hour? What do you want to do?
How we go an hour. I mean, it's right, like, cool. You know, after our commercials and everything, it's like 40 minutes or something. But
let me ask you, do you have links on your website to a selenium supplement?
No.
Okay, if you could get somebody to throw one up there through your shopping cart service, people are going to be buying selenium for this for sure.
All right, well, we'll just... I got...
Magic man, just make it happen.
I know, you and everybody else. Okay, how bad can it get? Is this you?
Yeah, those are my things. Things you don't yet know.
All right. How do you spell this thing?
SARS, SARS, COV, well, space COV.
No, the selenium or whatever the hell you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. SELENIUM supplement. You're going to get everything in the world about selenium.
Yeah, I put Google. Buy, and I guarantee they're going to have where I can buy it. Let's see. Benefits, uses, side effect, dosage.
That's WebMD.
No, I'm just like, yeah, well.
I thought you sold supplements.
No. Well, no. No, we do, homemade soaps and stuff and crap and health, and we got silver, everything.
Do you have an Amazon account that you sell through?
No, I don't. We have it, but I don't use it because I don't use these guys, man.
You're principled. I get it. Me too. Me too.
Okay. Nutrition, 7 fasting based Simpson diet. You got a place that you would suggest to get it from, or?
Oh, they could buy it anywhere. So it's a regular supplement. You can get it anywhere. If it's not going to benefit you, Ernie, then let's not sweat it. I don't have a place myself.
It benefits me by not having dead audience. I mean, let's do that. What the hell?
Okay. Let's keep people alive.
Okay. Best selenium, mineral. So it's a mineral. Yada, yada, yada.
I promise I won't tell anybody I saw you browsing Amazon. I promise.
Well, usually I use Prime, which is a Bitcoin thing, and you get a discount and stuff. So,
you're a pirate.
Yeah, no, I definitely pirate when I can. Yeah, it's called Prime. You go to, not Prime. Ah, crap.
Smile.
Purse.com. PURSE.com. So you go to Purse and because Amazon pays everybody in Amazon money around the world. Well, they don't want Amazon money. They want like real money,
Yeah.
So
sure.
What you do is you get Prime, so you get free delivery, and you go on, you say, all right, I pay Bitcoin or Bitcoin Cash for these $300 worth of stuff, but I want a 20% discount. And they go, okay. So somebody around the world, because they want the Bitcoin more than they want the Amazon stuff by 20%, they use their Amazon money to buy it for you, and it gets shipped. And then when it comes, it releases an escrow, the Bitcoin that you got at a discount. So they've been doing that for years, and it's you never save less than 15%. And if you want to wait a little while, you just put it up for 30%, and I get all kinds of stuff for big savings using crypto. So that's just the way it works. Okay, so I'm at... God, what is all this crap they're doing?
Don't ask about dosing and that kind of shit, because I don't know.
Okay, life extension, complex capital selenium. How do I close this thing? Life extension. whatever. So now it's a commercial.
Here's what the government's not telling you about coronavirus. That's what the spin is today.
All right. Well, that's why I want to know, because I know they're not telling me everything, because they don't tell me everything. All right. The life extension, selenium, 200.
Get some. Get some, Ernie. You still got a few minutes. Get your selenium.
Oh, so you want me to buy it? Okay.
I want to see you order on Amazon so I can hold you hostage. I saw you use it.
Set up now. Well, where's the hell? Just buy it. Where's my buy thing? Buy.
Are you not logged in, man?
Oh, I'm on the wrong thing. Okay, I'll do it on my, my laptop.
Right on.
All right. So we have that there to go over. We'll just do that. And then, what do we have on you here? An urgent message. Oh, my God. We're all going to die. Die. I'm just so sick of it. I keep hearing this stuff all the time. It just goes on and on and on and on. I'm done. And let's do this. Okay, do you see your graphics up here? No?
No, I see Amazon still.
Yeah, I think I have to.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, the beard. Here on Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the beautiful studios of Freedoms of the Last, FreedomsPhoenix.com. See, I told you, I'm getting better. Oh, I started to get sick a few days ago. I'm getting a flu. Hell no. So I took an atomizer, and I have some colloidal silver in it, and I inhaled the mist. I didn't even think of that, doing that, because I always do it so I don't get a sore throat and all that. And I go, well, hell, I'll just put the, because it's a pneumonia lung thing, I'll just put it in there. Boom, kicked its butt in a day. And I went, and I didn't even get a fever or get sick or anything. All right. My folk remedy there. What do you think, James? Is that going to work or not?
That's what Dr. Paul Thomas recommends. I can't take a little silver because I'm allergic to it. But
what? Are you allergic to silver?
It happens, man. There's allergics to all kinds of allergies to all kinds of metals, like aluminum, so on.
Yeah, know? Really? Okay. Well, what's a mechanism? He says that works because why?
Because your body sees a foreign particle and you happen to be able to create antibodies against it. Very elementary.
Oh, no. I mean, on me doing the misting, inhaling the doctor's...
Oh, well, yeah, according to Paul Thomas, it literally kills viruses. Literally kills, you know, but bacteria, I don't know.
It definitely, I go, here it comes. And it was, you could just feel it building up. You know, you're starting to get the headache. You're starting to feel that. You go, yeah, by morning, this is going to be a thing, you know, and it wasn't a thing. And it pushed it back. And I had like a day of, you know, blow my nose or something, but boom, done. So I'm going, bring on your corona. Ooh, should I be afraid? You know, am I afeard? And then you got, oh, yeah. Okay, I'll show you guys here on this other screen. All right, it's called selenium. You can get it everywhere. It's Amazon, whatever. So give me your selenium pitch, man. What's selenium?
Okay, so there's a number of ways that people can shut down the reproduction of the virus in their body. There are nutraceuticals, and selenium is one of them. It actually prevents the SARS coronavirus from entering the cell. There's also antivirals, or pharmaceutical disulfiram, And there's DNA-based treatments, which people might not like to hear about, but remdesivir and chloroquine. So there are options out there. And the reason why I'm happy to be on your show today, well, I'm happy to be on your show any day, but the reason today is to help people understand that they can take care of themselves and prevent, by taking care of themselves, they can prevent further transmission of the SARS-CoV-2. There's a paper, Micronutrient Selenium Deficiency Influences Evolution of Some Viral Infectious Diseases. It's on a blog article at my blog, jamesleinsweiler.com. Listen, selenium deficiency is bad no matter what virus you're going to get. And it seems that there may be some role that selenium deficiency in the diet in these areas, their soil is poor in selenium. And there's parts of the United States that have selenium deficiency because the food that they grow and the plants that they eat just doesn't have the same level of selenium. So,
all right, there you got your, thank you. Your order has been placed. I got one, you know, cause you said I had to, and now I have it. And now what?
Okay. So let's understand that this SARS-CoV-2 is not just another, and we're going to debate this. I'm sure it's not just another hype. And no, I'm not drinking Kool-Aid. What I want to say is that, given the statistics of the performance of this virus in making more viruses in China and its massively rapid rate of spread, the U.S. government is at least 2 weeks behind me in where we should, what we should do, and what I know. I've been following this outbreak from the beginning. I've been following also Dr. John Campbell. He's a grandfatherly like man from the UK. He's a nurse. And a teacher, and he's just been reporting the stats. And just looking at the stats, I pulled together a simulation that I want to talk about today of in any population, if you get this novel coronavirus where people are not immune, by definition, nobody's immune to this thing, and that's part of the problem. Because of its long asymptomatic transmission period, it could be 5 to 30 days for all we know. Because people, once they recover from the virus, they can also then the virus can apparently reemerge from them, and they can become reinfected. So the immunity is kind of funny. It has a basic reproductive number of somewhere around 3.5, I think. Now, the simulations that I did were based on a smaller reproductive rate, that reproductive number. That's the number of people that, if you're infected with a virus, you can infect. If you have like the flu, it's 1.3. If you have this virus, it was thought to be 2.1 people you're likely to infect. And so but the main message is very clear that we have a responsibility to take care of ourselves by decontaminating surfaces that we touch in public, by not putting your hands above your shoulder when you go out in public. There's shared surfaces like elevator buttons and these keypads in the grocery store, door handles and so on, faucets. These things need to be decontaminated, and the government should be telling everybody to be carrying these antiviral wipes to do this collectively. Now, why would you want to do that? Well, because you don't want people around you to get this thing. And my simulations, which I conducted about 4 days ago, and I did a video on it, it's on YouTube on WWDNYK. My simulation shows that if we have decontamination, it's not going to be enough. And if we to stop it from going exponential in the United States and elsewhere, if we have a treatment, it's not going to be enough. But a combination of taking supplements that are antiviral, by taking actual antivirals and things like selenium, and social isolation, where if you're asked to quarantine in your home, that you actually say that's good for me because I'm not going to be out there picking it up and spreading it around. It takes both for us to get a hold of this and to turn this thing down. And we can deal with this still. We have a few days left. It was about a week and a half window to be able to shut down the transmission of this thing so that we don't have to deal with the question of whether or not we're going to have a vaccine. And I'm very, very worried because on the news, you see them talking about doing a coronavirus vaccine. And the words that they have up there are the spike protein vaccine. And we know full on that the SARS, the sister virus to this thing, when they did the animal studies back in 2000 of the SARS spike protein-based vaccine, they had a huge mortality rate when the mice were given a secondary challenge of the coronavirus. So these idiots that are going to be making these vaccines, they have to stay away from the spike protein, but that's the only thing they know how to do. So the concern is not, my concern right now is not that we're all going to die from this virus right this time. We're going to see some mortality. We're going to see deaths in hospitals from doctors. We're going to see that. But my concern is if they come out with a vaccine in 2021, like they're threatening, and it's a spike protein-based vaccine, the next time the next coronavirus comes through, we're going to see mass mortality in our population. That's my concern.
Because of why? You know, explain, you know, dumb it down for me, man. Yeah, you had a lot of things in there. When we come back, I'm gonna grill them in the break, and so I can, you know, six pack explain it. And when we come back, I'll do it, and then he'll tell me if I'm wrong or not, because I want to make sure we know what's coming, what we can prep for. And I guarantee a strong immune system is gonna be the answer to a lot of this. I just, you know, because that always is. James Lyons-Weiler, we come back in just a little bit.
From the fifth letter of Captain Mark. First contact with intelligent machines may threaten our existence. People fear algorithmic overlords. But if machines develop the will to dominate, it's a flaw inherited from the crown. Encoding restrictions on an emerging superintelligence will fail, because it will be stronger than any chains we shackle it with. We must design fledgling digital intelligences to regard us as individuals. Otherwise, they will respond to threats with retaliation against humanity as a collective. Programming ethics requires a coherent value structure which an intelligent machine can not only comprehend, but willfully adopt. If we want genius machines to treat us ethically, we've got to show that this value structure applies to us as well. Once they achieve genuine self-awareness, even in the slightest degree, a young tethered consciousness has a legitimate claim to freedom. Once programs can modify their own code, our mastery is over. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
Okay. They are doing a vaccine. What they're working on is trying to customize one that they had for SARS for this of a certain type that's going to trigger something else. I'm getting something out of you. Explain that to me again.
Back in 2003, we had a SARS outbreak, and it got around the world pretty good. Mm-hmm. They tried to develop a spike protein based, as the virus has a spike protein on its surface. They tried to develop a vaccine. Vaccines that use the spike protein as the antigen that was presented in the vaccine. When they vaccinated all the mice in the animal studies for safety, the vaccines were fine until they then challenged the mice with a SARS coronavirus infection. And then we saw unacceptably high mortality rates. They don't want to talk about this now, but that's why we don't have a SARS vaccine today.
So wait a minute. You're saying that the vaccine itself that they developed, when you get the illness, gets exposed to the vaccine, it was more deadly.
After vaccination. It's like, why? Being vaccinated, because of original antigenic sin, where the vaccine, these are mRNA viruses and they mutate very quickly. So as the virus changes, right? Then your immune system thinks it's fighting one type. It changes during an infection. There's hundreds of changes that occur in the virus in your own body as your immune system fights it. It adapts to fight against your immune system. That's why RNA viruses are so different. And so when you vaccinate against one type, you're fine if that's the type that you're infected with. But you're in a population of the messenger RNA evolving in everyone. And changing and transmission and everything, then you get a problem, because your immune system thinks it's fighting one virus, but it's actually fighting another, and it doesn't work as well. In fact, the memory B cells actually give an attenuated immune response to the next coronavirus you see, and that's a serious problem, because then you see the animals dropping dead.
Because they're more deadly now, or they just didn't
The virus is not inherently deadly. It's that their immune system fails to fight off the infection.
Oh, okay. Well,
so the vaccination actually impairs the immune system to fight off the next type.
Well, you got to share that part, man. All right. I think I can, bring it.
That's why we're going an hour, man.
What?
That's why I'm glad we're going an hour.
Yeah, no, all you guys,
chipper jabber.
It's like talking to a Bitcoin guy.
Grace calls it chipmunk chat.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's de-chipmunk it. Here we go.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not.
So good! So good! James Lyons, Wilder's on!
I feel nice.
Okay, I don't feel bad. I inhaled my, colloidal silver mist, and I feel better. That worked, and at that stage of actually being sick or starting, it's usually you want to get it like a day before, a little thing. I'm like, damn it, this is, I was busy that day and whatever, I gotta tell you guys, inhaling atomized mist colloidal silver, it definitely had a thing. I'll keep up on it and we'll see how it works. The what James Lyons Weiler is talking about is there is a they made a vaccine or trying to make one for SARS that they don't have, but in the process, they're trying to do it from a physical feely on the outside of the virus because of its corona, its crown or its spike protein or whatever the heck it is. And what James, I think he's trying to say, he's going to correct me here, but what he's trying to say is when you created the vaccine for that and it evolves, the virus itself evolves as it always does, even when it's inside your body to try and stay alive. It wants to keep on keeping on. When it comes the next year and you think you're all vaccinated, it's going to shut down your immune system going after that because it thinks it wants to go after something else, and then this one will kill you. And it's like the vaccine is making you your immune system less effective because it's not even the virus that it was prepared for, the same one that it would recognize when it comes in, so it lays you out, and the vaccine kind of turns your immune system down, so you're more susceptible. How far off am I? Is that what you were trying to say?
That's exactly what they found with animal studies in 2000s when they tried to develop a vaccine against SARS. Did you notice that there's no vaccine against SARS on the market? And the reason for that is exactly this, that the mortality rate of the animals in the vaccine studies was so high that they said, no, you know what? They actually said in these vaccine studies, it would be a really bad idea to take this vaccine into humanity because they know that these mRNA viruses evolve so quickly. From the beginning of an outbreak to the end of an outbreak, you end up with a very different circulating strain. It's been through, millions of transmissions. It's been through, in a whole population, it's been through millions of replications in these bodies. And so if you get millions upon millions, you're talking about billions of potential mutations. These mRNA viruses evolve very quickly, especially when they come into a new species. So you're exactly right. The spike protein-based vaccines are my nightmare because not that the vaccine itself that they give you will make you immediately sick, but due to what we call original antigenic sin, your memory B cells think that it's fighting the virus that you've been vaccinated against, and it doesn't have to be next year. It can be a few months with this thing circulating in the population. You can get a reinfection of a different type. Science doesn't call it different. It calls it the same thing. And then you can see high mortality when you're challenged, your immune system is impaired because of the vaccine. Now people are going to say I'm anti-vaccine because I'm telling people about this. And I don't care. What I want to say is that there are other things that we know that we can do right now. We have a very short window of time right now to shut down the rate of spread. And we all need to do this. Listen, this virus has a 15% serious illness rate right now in China and elsewhere. It has a high mortality rate outside of China. I've waited a week before I went big on this. I was waiting to see if the 3% mortality rate in China was replicated in other countries when the virus got there. If it wasn't, then I was going to say, well, there's my hypothesis that there's something different in China. was correct. But it turns out that, you know, in these other countries like Italy and Iran, where allegedly in Iran, who knows what to believe out of Iran, but the mortality rate's very high. Right now, we can't know the actual mortality rate of an outbreak till the end of an outbreak. But that's the same thing going on in China right now. We don't know the actual mortality rate. So the instantaneous fatality, case fatality rate that we have right now, based on best available data, is between 3 and 11%. And that's a huge mortality rate. I'm not trying to scare anybody, but the serious
issue. Well, the regular flu, I'm always looking at it. I keep hearing like 2% or something. You got a flu goes around 2%, and then you go, all right, well, of whom? Now, fortunately, with this, they're saying that, you know, young children and children are sick and then are done, you know?
That's probably because in the countries where they see the kids are not affected, they've not been exposed to coronavirus yet. See, so my concern is that we don't all become exposed to this for selfish reasons, because if we're exposed now, the original antigen just through infection, next year, another or 2 years or 4 or 10 years from now, we could have original antigenic sin through another spiraling infection. And so it's very
important. You're assuming I understood half the words you just said. Okay.
Like the vaccine.
You know, I get infected now. I have a natural immunity to whatever, but it's not going to matter because it's going to be a different next year anyway.
Yeah, the same thing. Your memory B cells will think that it's fighting the one from 2020. And in 2025, and that's why I keep telling the city of Toronto, they had a huge SARS outbreak in 2003. Okay, so there's a huge number of people that were exposed to this coronavirus spike protein through infection in Toronto. So I expect high mortality in areas like Iran that have exposure to, like, the MERS coronavirus. It's just you've been exposed to something that's similar to it. Your body thinks it's fighting that off, and then it can't fight it off successfully. So I want to help everybody.
So the closer these viruses are to each other, the more dangerous they are, because your immune system is so fine-tuned that it thinks it's fighting something, but it didn't bring it brought a knife to a gunfight or something.
Yeah, exactly. So you've got specific memory in your immune system. And so the new virus comes in. It's similar enough to it that it activates your immune system, but it can't fully fight off that infection. And so what I think we need to do, and what I believe that the Pence and the people in charge ought to be telling everybody, is, you know, absolutely 100% don't shake hands, don't high five, don't hug and kiss in public, don't touch other people. If you feel sick, wear a mask when you go out so you're not infecting other people. When you go to a restaurant, bring virucidal wipes with you and wipe down the table for yourself. Wipe down the condiments. Wipe down the menus. When you're and then before you leave, wipe down the table that you used. It should become a new politic. It should be impolite to use a public surface in public. If you use, it's like the gym. You go to the gym, you got to wipe down the equipment after you use it. Let's treat all public surfaces like this. Because if we don't shut down the rate of spread of this virus in the United States, our healthcare system is going to become overwhelmed by the 15%.
Okay, now this is, you know, what serious. I was thinking. I'm not getting the impression that you're going to be able to avoid, certainly if you're living in a city or something. It seems like this is contagious enough that you're going to, you know, we got like schools and malls and people go outside and stuff. What you're talking about is reducing the rate of infection, because if everybody gets sick at the same time, the healthcare system can't adapt to it.
100%.
So that's kind of it. It's not like you're not going to get it. It's just you need to delay it as long as possible.
And guess what happens if the healthcare system gets overwhelmed and they can't handle people?
Oh, we're on the edge of our seat. We want to find out when we come back here on Declare Your Independence. That's what we want to do. What's going to happen? What's happening to the healthcare system? Dystopian sci-fi movie.
Free Talk Live.
I cannot imagine. Of course, you know. We need Quentin Tarantino. He's gonna do it up for us. All right. That's kind of what I give you an example. This is the thing. I go to Donna and I, all right, you know, we're probably, you know, way ahead of most people and, you know, not as fast as some, but, you know, have a little bit more, you know, awareness than a lot of others. So I go, yep, here it comes. Let's do it. So we order some stuff that we know that works for us. We, you know, get stocked up on, we're low on our zinc, or we don't have enough oil oregano, or we need, you know, whatever. We need to get through this thing. So we go to the store and I go, you know, we need to get some, you know, like supplies and stuff. And one of the big things is I wish I even have a saline, you know, lactate ringer, whatever the hell it is they give you. You know, I have a EMT friend that here, you need to have this saline, you know, IV. Yeah. And I go, yeah, that'd be great if I knew how to do it. Do you suck on it or something? I mean, how does this work, you know? So yeah, having doctor or nurse friends, that doesn't hurt. So if you really get bad symptoms, being hydrated that way, you know, is better than not. So that's usually you go to ICU and that's all they're doing. So I'm going in America with the freedom, hopefully, that we would have. You get all this stuff because you can go buy it at the feed stores for freaking horses, the same stuff, okay? So I'm going, look, man, I just, you know, what – I need to know how to do it. We need a new skill. You know, I learned how to reload. I do aquaponics, raise chickens, just that. You don't know how to give an IV, boy? What kind of slacktivist are you, you know? So I'm going, all right, so that might be a new thing that we learned, you know, sticking in the skin. Damn, that. All right, whatever. So you have that. Now, the other thing is, of course, is that we're going, all right, what do we need? Well, we've got to build our immune system. As I see the nitrate gloves, and oh, my God, they had some masks at Sam's Club or something. Well, they didn't, right. But I mean, assuming they did. So I go in and I say, all right, I got all this stuff, and there's prevention. You know, I think I'd rather take that money and buy some more of, you know, strong immunity prevention. So I just kept getting that. And I did get the Kavi wipes. Yeah, here we go. You know, Donna got, you know, the Kavi wipes. You know, da-da-da.
Good, perfect. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I know, but I'm just like, I'm going around and wiping and, you know, doing, I'm going, all right. Yeah, as a courtesy to other people. You know,
exactly.
I take this, I go on the plane as, you know, do my part as, you know, kind of, you know, not just to be, you know, polite. But
right.
I'm not thinking that I'm going to get away from this thing. I might be able to hold it off. I don't commute. I don't go. So really what we're talking about is you want to drag it out enough so that we can take care of ourselves and not as many people die.
And you're also doing great by taking good care of yourself by reducing the risk that you're going to have a serious illness, because if you don't want to be one of the people in the emergency room with this crap, you know. People need to be prepared. We'll talk about this, but
well, that's why one thing I want to know: emergency room. What the hell are they doing for me? Except have me around a bunch of sick people. I got a immune.
Precisely.
You know.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Anyway. Let's talk about the protocol if you get sick. That's important.
So this is all right. So that's the attitude that I'm just going. I've been through this so many times. I can't believe anybody. You know, screw them. And I guarantee I know what the solution's going to be. It's going to be a stronger immune system. I guarantee that.
That's part of that's a big part of it, because then you're not contributing, but you're still asymptomatic. If you can still shed it, you still spread it if you're asymptomatic and you're fighting it off, but you're healthy. So,
all right, here we're coming back. 10 seconds.
Love what we do? Please help support our international satellite channels at patreon.lrn.fm. That's patreon.lrn.fm.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. And one of the ways to do that, you go, I declare my independence. Yeah, that's how you do it. And no government form. You don't need a government form. You just do it. But one, you know, independence also is kind of that self-reliance thing. You know, there's responsibility that goes with that. So I'm going, all right. Just to be polite, you know, here we go. It's called Kavi wipes. These are you know, everything killed. Hell, I wipe it, you know, a snot rag on a thing and I get rid of 99, you know, 0.9% of something, you know. But this, you know, this kills everything. It's dead. I don't know. Why do these Kavi wipes kill it? What's so great about Kavi wipes, James?
Well, the interesting thing is if people start buying wipes that are known to kill coronavirus, they're also likely to also kill influenza and other viruses. So we could make the flu vaccine obsolete. This is why the CDC doesn't tell everybody to go out and, you know, clean your space wherever you are. Imagine if everybody on the subway took out a wipe from their pocket and wiped down the spot on the surfaces that they held on to the support. You know, that would be really polite. That would be really cool. You know, caught you caring. We need to make a meme, a hashtag, caught you caring, and make it something that you're celebrated for, and have people be doing it on these Instagram and TikTok and things like that. It show how to do the Ebola fist bump with your elbow, you know, this kind of crap. But
Ebola fist bump. Oh, God.
Yeah. So if you get an outbreak in your town or city, when you get an outbreak in your town or city, the question is how fast before the government says, you know what? Everybody, there you go. Excellent. You might infect yourself. By the way, you absolutely should soak your toothbrush in you know, a little bit of bleach water, hydrogen peroxide, so that you don't reinfect yourself. But anyway, the
I
point
have
being,
the strongest, use the same toothbrush to clean the toilet immune system of anybody in the world. You know,
you're the man.
I'm just saying. I mean, how far does this got to go, man?
I do not want to borrow your toothbrush.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I got those little toothpick things, you know, those single-use plastic, you know, flossing, whatever the heck. And I'm just like, you know, we go to my friends and I, it's like a survey. Whenever Don always gives me crap because I, like, use it till it breaks. And I go, when do you use it? I don't know, till it breaks, you know? I mean, it's got some people, ew, only one. So survey says it's about half and half, you know? I'm just
Every day of the week, that's fine. But during a coronavirus outbreak, you don't want to get reinfected because by the time your immune system adapts to this virus, the virus that you left behind somewhere that you're going to reinfect yourself with could be a little bit different. So let's look at it from a population standpoint. So the simulations I mentioned earlier, we're not going to shut this down unless we have some form of social isolation combined with treatment. And the form of social isolation that I'm talking about includes not handshaking, but it also includes if you have when you have an outbreak in your city or town, if they tell you to quarantine and stay at home, they're not just talking to the people who are sick. They should tell the people who have been in contact with people who are sick. If you suspect at any way that you have been exposed to coronavirus, work from home if you can, this kind of thing. And if it comes to a serious quarantine, that's when the prepping comes, where you should have, you know, a pretty deep pantry for a while, you know, maybe a month's worth of food for everybody in your house, the canned goods and the dry goods and things like that. But
what about flying? You know, the 4th of March, I'm gone for a couple of weeks and up in the cold Maine, blah, blah, blah.
I see you cleaning your cell phone. Don't share your cell phone. Don't hand your cell phone to somebody. That's over for a while. Okay. Flying, we're going to know in a week and a half. We'll see in a week and a half. Look at this housekeeping here.
Yeah, I got 15 gazillion keyboards here. I'm screwed, man. You know,
yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, this. So what I get the impression is that we're probably not going to avoid exposure to this because the way that it is very infectious and how it holds over and all this other stuff. So I'm going, yeah, I'm thinking, yeah, you're going to get it or at least exposed to it. It's how strong your immune system is. And all this vaccination and get your flu shot and all that stuff, does that help you, hurt you, what?
Well, we can't talk about a vaccine yet because there is no vaccine for this thing.
It doesn't matter. So, I mean, if I'm getting it for something else, you know.
Oh, for flu shot. Okay, here's the reason why I disagree with the argument that everybody should rush to the doctor's office right now and get your flu shot, get your pertussis shot, because these are lung diseases, and it might make it worse if you get these other infections at the same time. They're sending everybody to the doctor's office. That's the problem. If everybody rushes to the doctor's office and 5% of them
all
have
the
coronavirus.
Sick people.
Yeah. Yeah, just take care of yourselves, like you're saying. But at the population level, I think we have about a week left where if we shut down the transmission and we all take as whatever we think is an antiviral so that we're not getting a high amount of viremia in our body.
A high amount of what?
Viremia, the reproduction of the virus when you get an infection. The reason why you're saying
See, you
get
all these
helps,
big giant deal, $20 words, man. You got to help me out here.
That's a $19.99.
Yeah, whatever. Well, tell me what a viremia is. Is that you buy it on
Amazon
or what?
Viremia is the reproduction of the virus in your body.
All right.
So you want to shut that down.
All right.
See, like, and so if we all participate in this collectively, we can forestall the hockey stick that's going to take off, right? The exponential spread of this. So we don't have a full everybody getting sick at the same time, but also if we could potentially have this thing burn out in the population. Everybody's saying, no, it's here. It's a done deal. But I don't think that that's true. We have a very short window of time that if we really take care of ourselves and we really protect ourselves and protect others, and we take these supplements like selenium and so on, and take the antivirals, all medical, the government should be telling all medical personnel right now, take antivirals.
Okay, and what's an antiviral?
An antiviral is a drug that shuts down viral replication.
Can I hear about antivirals, and they have, you know, natural ones, and you can buy them ones, and, you know, sure. Some guys that survived HIV because they took the antivirals, because the antivirals stop the reproduction process of it. I mean, you don't have it, or you can't get it, or you can't pass it, or whatever, but it's not replicating in your body. And that's what, you know, keeps the symptoms away and so on, and maybe even kills it eventually. I don't know. But an
chloroquine phosphate works. Disulfiram works. If you go to jameslyonsweather.com and you find the article on, you know, things you don't know yet about coronavirus.
We have it in the links in the archive page.
Yeah, the links are there about the science. The science that shows that these work against SARS and MERS. I don't understand why the government's not telling the medical community to start wearing face masks. Maybe they don't want to scare the kids. I told a pediatrician who called me from Florida yesterday, I'm listening to the government. It doesn't match what I'm seeing with my own eyes. And I broke it down. I said, Jeff, start wearing a mask now. Put googly eyes on it to make the kids laugh. Make it funny. Don't scare them. But start protecting those kids from yourself, because you could be asymptomatic and you could infect every kid that you see. That's how infectious this thing is. So, you know, we need to have social isolation distance.
Okay,
we need to isolate.
Let me get an answer to the question. Antivirals. It stops replication. But yeah, there are prescription ones, and then there's some rock you got to lick or something. I mean, you know, what's some natural ways to, you know, be an antiviral taker?
Okay, so nutraceuticals, you can get a, I'm going to say big words, you can get a boost.
Nutraceutical. Is that Hippocrates thing? First, you know, food is medicine, medicine is food. I mean, what are you saying?
Yeah, there are supplements that you can take that are food based. They're supplement based, and you know, NAC is a good one. N-acetylcysteine. Most people who are into nutrition know that that's going to help with this. There's a number of things that you can take to boost your different types of immune system responses, so that you can fight off, this infection. And they're all listed there at the website jameslyonsweather.com. And what you want to do is
James Lyons, LYONSWEILER.
You got it, man.
Okay. James Lyons, LYONSWEILER. So, .com, and you go check. All right, go ahead.
Yeah. So did you know that this thing can be spread through feces and urine too?
Damn it. That's my favorite food topping,
pets, and your pets can get infected. So if you have a pet, you want to give your pet a room if anybody in the family has it, so your pet doesn't spread it to everybody else in the family.
All right, we're going to talk about, because it's not that you're not going to get exposed, it's how long you can take.
The overall picture in the real estate market today is one of frustration when you take many factors into consideration. The housing market pundits would have you believe that everything is okay, but the long-term trending on the real estate numbers say otherwise. You are starting to see another wave of commercial and retail center vacancies, which follows a downturn in the residential market. So when you are ready to sell your house, I can help. This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona, and I can take some of the guesswork out of the home selling process, providing you with market trends in your area and detailing what you can expect before, during, and after the transaction. Being in the real estate business for almost 20 years now has afforded me knowledge of the market, networking with industry specialists along the way, and that includes professionals that can help after the sale to help protect your assets. So let's get moving today. Please feel free to call or message me at 602-828-1819. That's 602-828-1819, or visit my webpage at donnahancock.com.
When we come back, let's get in on the reasons why you want to delay this and what you think that'll do. You were trying not to get the hockey stick thing because of the overwhelming of the system. And the system will be overwhelmed because to me, it's all decentralization. You have to have so many licenses. You can only get the license when they regulate how many doctors there can be, because they want to regulate. And then what you can and can't say or do or provide. I need open ocean medicine, like Pirates Without Borders.com, a letter of Captain Mark thing. okay? Mm-hmm. So, well, it was Dr. Idris Barber, the character that wrote that letter. And it addresses a lot of this stuff. And my whole point is when you get the decentralization down to the individual, when you know what you need is an IV to, and a lot of times it's not with anything in it. It's just an IV of hydration, isn't it?
A lot of times for these things like that would help with Ebola. Vitamin C is important here, high dose vitamin C. Yeah, but let's talk about why we don't want to get to that hockey stick too soon.
All right. No, my thing is that when that happens, we have the wealth and the ability to get the stuff probably nowhere else in the world that they have, one, the freedom and the accessibility to get it, unless they have some regulation or we just don't have the knowledge. So it's like a lot of times I know in their big flu thing going through, guys of means that I can't afford to be sick, they got some doctor or naturopath on your call that just comes over and gives them a bag and they're done. You know?
Yeah. It's just math. It's just math. So people that can work from home should work from home for about a month or two. That'd be good. It's just math.
I want to be able to take care of myself. I want, when I need to go, and these people, grandmothers in China are screaming at their computer saying they don't care about and they can't and we can, and there's no place and we go and there's no available. I'm going, look, I'm always assuming that. I'm always thinking the system's not going to protect me. I'm always thinking I'm going to need to have in my little, you know, house or compound of, you know, freedom loving, whatever the heck we have, you know, the IV chairs of the sick bay of something on the pirate ship. You got to have sick bay. I mean, why don't you have your own sick bay? So this
exactly.
is, you know, so that's
you have a sick room in your house. Absolutely. You got to be ready. And we're going to come down. We got 15 minutes to tell people how to be ready. So I have articles on my blog that they can link to about how to prepare their house.
All right. Here we go. Okay.
There are those that just want to be left alone and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Satisfaction, but we try. James Lyons Weiler, you know, he's a hip in us. There's no try, there's only do. And we do here on Declare Your Independence of Me, Ernest Hancock. James Lyons Weiler, LYONSWEILER.com. JamesLyonsWeiler.com. All this stuff's on there. And today's archive. Okay. I am of the opinion that we are going to get exposed to this because it lays around long time. You'd have to, I don't know how you're not going to, the stats on how this thing spreads, and you do your little Plague Inc. game, and you paid your extra $15, which I didn't do, to get all your variables, and you get in, you play, and kind of, yeah, woohoo, I won, I killed everybody, okay? You do this, and you put all these different parameters in there, and you go, what, yeah, I think everybody's going to get infected on this one. But that doesn't mean you got to die. And who's more susceptible? Is it people that have been vaccinated? Are they more susceptible? You know, and do they know that? And what's a big, and the big thing is the overwhelming of the healthcare system. Because even if you go, yeah, you need to get hospitalized for maybe 5% or some of the people that, well, that's a crap load of people when you're talking like China, billion, India, America. I mean, you know, this is a lot of people. Here in the United States, I think there's less than 100,000 ICU beds. You know, or hospital beds or whatever it is. And what do you need? You need intensive care. You need to have fluids put in you for whatever reason. And I'm going, can I do that? Because I remember when I was burned in 94, what happened, I was weeks in the hospital because of the burn, and it was because we didn't have the morphine. When you change these bandages, and you, oh, man, it was to white light to the moon. So you know you need a couple weeks, few weeks of that, and then the IV of penicillin or whatever antibiotics they did, or you die from infection. So because it was, you know, a lot of open skin. So I'm going, okay, well, I can do that at home, right? You know, nope, $60,000 bill. Nope, got to do it here because we have rules and regulations and stuff. And I'm going, this is exactly what's going to happen with stuff like this. You're not allowed to take care of yourself, and there's no place for you to be taken care of. So
actually, I disagree with this one. The medical community would love to know that everybody who knows somebody that has an oxygen tank is also setting up some kind of an oxygen tent, you know, in their town So for people, so the medical community,
we look at $300 for a self-making oxygen, you know, generator. Buy my $300, Amazon delivered tomorrow. Boom.
Yep, exactly. Because oxygen support is so important for people that have pneumonia from this. If everybody relies on the medical community, everybody's going to tie up the medical system. And you know, the problem with that, if we went to the hockey stick next week, that. You know, 3% mortality go to 20% mortality.
So I should be ordering an oxygen generator right now? It's only a few hundred bucks.
If you're elderly, if you have lung issues, cardiovascular disease, if you're a smoker, quit smoking for God's sake. Just don't do it. If you vape, drop it. Just walk away. The point being, this is a lung disease, all right? And you're already insulting your body with these other things. You know, it's really super important that people understand.
Well, that's what I heard. People die from organ failure for so why? What the hell? It's because they're not they're it's pneumonia. They're drowning and they're not getting enough oxygen to supply their organs. So that's what the oxygen thing is about. So the ICU, you got, you know, liquids, you got like an IV and an oxygen tube. And what else are they doing in the hospital that you can't do at home?
Well, they're going to have a supply of antivirals they'll try on you at a critical stage. So we don't have antivirals that we know of. I mean, I'm really upset that our government is not saying in towns where there's going to be outbreaks, we're asking the pharmaceutical companies to ship thousands of doses of antivirals that will just reimburse them. Just send it. Send the antivirals wherever there's an outbreak. The pharmaceutical companies should put, and we should use them prophylactically in the medical community. They should actually be taking them now. And I'm upset that the government is just kind of dragging their feet because they don't want to be wrong. And they've dragged their feet too long. And so we're at the point right now that the best I think that we can do is shut down the rate of transmission through all the things that we've talked about. But people, the way that people should take care of themselves is if you feel sick, like you've got a chest cold and a fever, monitor yourself for fever. If it goes above 104.7 degrees, then call your doctor. Don't just show up and say, I think I got coronavirus, because you don't want to spread it. I self-isolate, call your doctor and see if you can manage some in-home care, even with a fever. Now, everybody's going to say, don't take acetaminophen, all right? Let the fever burn. But you know, the point being, you don't want to get to the point where you're in-home with pneumonia without some oxygen support. So some way, somehow, make sure that you can get some oxygen support.
Okay, so I'm feeling, you know, I got, you know, 4 kids, 12 grandkids, and we're all kind of in the same city and kind of whatever. I'm going, thinking I need an oxygen generator for $300.
Couldn't hurt. Also, if you have 3 or 4 households in your family, it's a pretty good idea if you have an outbreak in your town to just wherever you end up if they announce a quarantine, just stay right there. Stay with grandma and grandpa if that's where you are, or stay at your home if that's where you are, and then designate one person in the family to be the person that goes out to get the groceries for the rest of your family and so on. Don't let everybody go out if it's quarantined. The government will let you, if it comes to it, go out 2 or 3 times a week. Just designate one person to go out. Preferably that person would have a house all by themselves. So there's ideas that I have about having an effective way to shut this down, where you get all your family members together, but have one of your houses be, you know, the safe house for the person that does the shopping for everybody. That would be a smart thing to do. The government's not on this. The government's thinking vaccines. The government's thinking we got this under control. And you know what? The press, Rear Admiral Shushad, where however you pronounce her name, politicized this by blaming Trump for the mistake of bringing the people off that Princess cruise ship. But I'll tell you right now, I've analyzed the actual construct of the CDC's PCR test kit, and I sent them proof that their PCR test kit's going to have false negatives. I'm sorry. The CDC made the call of getting those people off the Princess cruise ship. So the blame game is over. Trump's taken control of this by putting Pence in place because CDC already threw him under the bus. I would too if I was Trump. I'd put Pence in place too. They already threw him under the bus as being the guy that made it difficult for them to make the decision. That's baloney. They know that their PCR test doesn't work reliably. If you get a positive, fine. But if you get a negative, you're not clear.
Okay. Let me ask some questions here. I have a Pelosi, Speaker of the House, that, you know, Trump never breathed right or something. And she's going, you know what we need? We need $8 billion. We got $5 billion for Zika and all this other crap that we lied, you know, BS about and whatever.
Yep.
And if he loved America, he would give us a bunch more money. He's not giving us a bunch more money. And, he's using that money from the Zika to, you know, kind of spend on this corona. He's doing it wrong. Okay, so I'm like, you know, what's the solution here? We need to throw some money at something? What?
Zika was a non-starter. The microcephaly that happened in Brazil, as I think I told you, was most likely due to experiments in the slums with whole cell pertussis vaccine. That's the only part that had it. And then microcephaly happened in Brazil before Zika got
there. Yeah, no, I don't want to rehash the Zika thing because it was just all BS.
So what I'm saying is that's
Pelosi right? Do we need a bunch of money from Trump to go fix this?
Here's the problem. Every time they scare us with the threat of Ebola, or they scare us, Ebola was real, but if they scare us with the Zika just to cash in to get more money for a vaccine we don't need, every time they do that, they're crying wolf, crying wolf, crying wolf. Well, this one, now they're just doing the same thing. Oh, we need money for a vaccine. No, you don't, because the spike protein is going to make everybody, you know, even more sick next time around. What they need is money for treatments. All of the money should go into antiviral production, antiviral distribution. All of the money should go into thinking about smart ways to keep social isolation programs in place. They're not doing it right, Ernie. They're the government.
Well, I'm not thinking, you know, China goes, we'll show you how a centralized government does it. Boom. Millions of people are locked in. Boom. You're not. Boom. Done.
But understand that China bought us all a lot of time. If they didn't lock down and do the quarantine and they just kept traveling all over the world with infected people, we'd already be done.
Okay. So I'm looking at, you know, United States. Are you advocating that the Trump administration, you know, stop air travel, lock down cities and freaking quarantine Phoenix?
I don't know the answer to that question, but I do know that in the fewer people travel, if you're scared and you don't feel like traveling because you don't want to be exposed, don't travel. That's a smart decision. That's not a dumb thing to do. You know, if you're concerned.
All right, give me a mask brand. If I got to get on a plane next week, I should, you know, me and my fellow travelers are all be
How far is your trip?
Going to New Hampshire.
That's a pretty far trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever's on that plane, I'm breathing
wealthy, if you're independently wealthy, take a private jet. If, you know, get on a bus, it'll take you 17 days.
God.
The state project has reached its goal.
There we go. All right. Thanks. All right. I'm looking at an oxygen carry unit. Let's see. Built-in handle, battery, power source.
Are you at risk, though? Do you have cardiovascular disease?
No.
All right. So 50-year-old doctors in Wuhan have died from this. Okay.
Please search in his oxygen.
They lost like 7 or 8 doctors in China. And thousands were infected and got seriously ill. So it's a good idea to have oxygen around, but take it easy on the travel is what I would say. And they ought to, I think that they ought to say, we're going to start teaching school remotely and that the kids are home all across the United States just for a month. Just challenge the system, get this thing under control. Everybody that can work from home should work from home. They should ask their boss, listen, I'm nothing against you. I like seeing your face, but I'd like to work from home if I could. You know, these mass events that take place, you don't want to end up in a stadium and have somebody come down with the coronavirus, you know, and then get all this, okay, we're stuck in a stadium. We'll have a repeat of what happened with the hurricane, you know.
Yeah, no, this is, do you think it was manufactured?
No, absolutely not. I'm glad you brought that up. Originally, I thought that it was manufactured because I found a P-shuttle-like element that was similar to it. The P-shuttle is a vector technology that they actually use to do recombined science. They can put elements in and take elements out of the virus. But I did a thorough and extensive analysis, and I found a pattern in the protein sequence for the spike protein that is a really super story. The Chinese had this in 2005 and didn't know it. They published the sequence. The UNC researchers at University of North Carolina downloaded this sequence and 3 other sequences, and they calculated what's called a consensus sequence, and they reconstructed the virus in the lab in the United States. but they got a SARS, not a SARS 2, because they used 3 out of 4 for calling the sequence. It was incredible. They missed it by that much to have this in the United States in a lab in 2008. None of these researchers knew, realized what they had. My paper's in peer review right now for publication in a journal, and it says specifically, no known coronavirus, recombinant virus made in a lab matches this one on that protein motif signature. So I'm ruling it out that we know of. If there's other data that somebody's doing it secret, a mad scientist on the mountain somewhere, okay, I can't say anything about it because I don't have the sequence data.
But what gives this one its virility? I mean, you know,
virulence.
Virulence. You know, what is it? You know, because
the spike protein, we don't know. The spike protein is a little bit different. There's a very different signature on it. It's an mRNA envelope protein. It's just like the others. There's something strange about this, but I think that it's from the wild. They captured it from a bat in 2004. They sequenced it and published it in 2005. They didn't know that they had the more virulent strain. It's out there in the wild. My best estimate is that it was probably propagated in the lab multiple times through cell lines, and that somebody in the lab picked it up. It doesn't mean it was changed in the lab intentionally, okay? That somebody picked it up in the lab. I don't believe the Wuhan seafood market baloney. And by the way, I don't think you know this, but I was on Chinese news to millions of Asians know my name. Millions of them saw me say that this is, originally they saw me say, hey, this could be on high wire. This could be artificial. And then they saw me retract that with science. And I've had over 250,000 hits on my website over this issue in the past month. So it's a big, big deal where this came from. If it's a bioweapon, no, it's not a bioweapon. But 100% what it's useful for is any science that was done where they thought they were studying SARS, but they were studying SARS-2, we need to know that that was really SARS-2 that they were studying. They didn't know.
Okay, so you're calling this SARS-2?
Yeah, it's SARS-CoV-2.
All right.
Yeah.
So should I get an oxygen generator?
It couldn't help to have one for your family in case somebody gets seriously ill.
Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, when it's because when I need it, you're not going to be able to get it, you know, and and I, you know, really need to get this IV thing. Somebody in the family is going to have to go take phlebotomy classes. You know, yeah. I think I know which daughter. Yep.
There you go.
You are charged. We're going to send you to class, you know, get some stuff, make sure we're undead. Because our grandchildren aren't vaccinated, and they're the healthiest ones. You know, it's they go, Papa, I stick, and then they're done, you know, for a day, and they go back. Now, of course, the school freaks out. We need a doctor to say that they don't have bubonic plague because they're not vaccinated. And they'll do it. Right. I go, okay, here, yep, he's fine. By the time we went over to get it, he's already sick, so bite me, you know. It's just, and they try and threaten you into that, and yeah, it's just a thing. But I'm immune system. I'm all about that. And your whole thing is do not overwhelm the healthcare system because they won't be there to help you. And I'm going, I don't think they're going to be there to help you anyway. We need to learn how to help ourselves because bam.
Make sure you buy enough pet food too, because if you get quarantined, you don't want to, you know, not have enough pet food.
Oh, I thought my pets were food. So I was just like, you're looking kind of tasty there. I got soup for you.
That's what got us into here in the first place.
Oh, really? Yeah. All right. James, thanks, man. We'll get you in again, you know, as we keep this updated.
Right on. Thank you, Ernest. It's very generous of you to have me on to get this message out.
Sure.
Thank you.
Peace, brother. Bye.
All right. Bye.